This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Jim Duncan is a local realtor and blogger and a member of the board of the Charlottesville Area Association of Realtors, and he joins us in studio. Good afternoon, Jim.
How are you doing?
I'm doing very good. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Have you ever been to a turkey processing plant?
No, but thanks for the lead-in. I appreciate that.
Sorry about that. Allison said, "You're not going to talk about killing those turkeys on the radio, are you?" I said, "Oh my gosh, I have to." It wasn't a religious experience, but I'll tell you, you don't forget it.
It's a tough act to follow.
Yeah. Jim, realtor, blogger. Let's do a Jim Duncan 101 first. Just introduce yourself to folks. And I should say at the top that your blog, which is realcentralva.com, it's just one of those local blogs that if you want to know what's going on in the Charlottesville area, it's one of the blogs you read regularly, as far as I'm concerned, along with, you know, CVilleNews.com or TheHook.net. You just sort of have to touch base with Jim Duncan's blog every once in a while and get the perspective on local real estate. So give us, a Jim Duncan 101, where you're from, what brought you here, that kind of thing.
Okay. I've been here for almost 20 years. Been a realtor for 6 or so. Both of my parents are realtors, and so it's kind of in my blood to do this, for better or worse. I like writing. I was an editorial editor in college, and blogging, I saw something years ago that it was going to be the next big thing, and since Waldo had been doing it for 4 or 5 years already, I figured there was something to step into. And I never did it to generate business. I've gotten business, but it's something that I really enjoy putting information out there because I think there's a void for relatively unbiased information. I have my biases, but I think that it's a good forum for discussion and information.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with you. And when did you start blogging?
January 2.5 years ago.
January 2.5 years. Okay. And for those just joining us, because I often get this email, and I want to recognize that not everybody starts on the same web page, pun intended, but a blog, of course, is the is short for web log, web meaning internet, log meaning a diary or a regularly updated journal of sorts.
Right.
And so a web log became blog, and as opposed to perhaps a website that doesn't change, it's pretty static, it's got the same information on it every day you go to it, it may be a business.
Right.
A blog is going to change almost every day and sometimes multiple times a day, and it provides an opportunity for folks to join in a conversation about a particular subject, which on a blog is called a thread.
Correct.
And you get a lot of folks talking back and forth about the your blog, which specializes in the local real estate market here in Central Virginia.
Right. I mean, there's a wider network throughout the entire country of real estate blogs that tend to focus on industry issues. And I touch on industry issues as they affect my clients, but I try to focus on local issues as much as possible. There's a lot of interaction. It's a very good forum for people to share their views, and frequently they'll tell me that I'm wrong. And I appreciate that. I mean, I think that one of the most frightening parts about writing every day is perhaps being wrong and having someone tell you that you are. And for it's a good way to explain the real estate market.
Yeah, and I think you do that very well. One of the things that perhaps gets a lot of discussion, especially right now, is the fact that Charlottesville is no longer rated as the number one place to live in America, according to Cities Ranked and Rated, a Frommer's book, which just came out. Gainesville, Florida got the number one spot, which I'm going to tell you, I've lived in Florida. It ain't Gainesville, ain't it?
I've never been there. I like Charlottesville. I mean, I think that Charlottesville's, periodically we get these top 10 rankings across the whole board. Best green place to live, healthy place to live, best place to live. And I think that we've run the danger of buying into the publicity. And I think that 17 is not bad.
Yeah, we get in the new ranking, we are 17 of the places to live. Interesting enough, Modesto, California was last at 373. I've never been there, but Charlottesville came in at 17. What does this mean for local real estate? Does that affect us at all, good or bad?
Surprisingly, a lot of people will move here thinking it's a destination. They will move here because they've seen the press. I think it's not that big of a deal in my mind as far as the real estate market. People do target Charlottesville because of the press, But generally, they're going to stay here because it's a great place to live.
Yeah. Give us your perspective, and you're going to join us in the next half hour, so we'll certainly continue this discussion after the bottom of the hour break. But give us your perspective, sort of broad strokes perspective, on the local real estate market here. Some things that you've seen in your tenure, good, bad, and what's going on now. And don't feel like you have to exhaust this. We have you here for the rest of the hour. But just initially, your initial perspective that you might share with folks who aren't from here.
The market's shifting. The market is shifting from a pure seller's market to more of a buyer's market. It's not, a phrase that I've used frequently is that it's not that bad. I mean, a lot of the press that you read is focused entirely on the national market. And Charlottesville is insulated in a lot of ways because of the presence of VA, because we are a destination. We have a lot of tech people who move here and keep their jobs in Denver or California or what have you, or D.C. So it's still a great place to live. The market is in a transition from a seller to a buyer's, where there's a lot more inventory. I mean, before I came here, I asked my mom, who's been a realtor for 20 years or so, and I said, when was the last time you saw a level of inventory like this? And she said, not since we got here in 1988. And so, I mean, a lot of people are saying, independently of me or of other realtors, that it's a great time to buy, so long as you're buying for the right reasons, so long as you're buying smart. We've gone from trying to buy anything that came on the market as soon as it came on the market to there's a lot of stuff to choose from. And so you actually, it can be a lot more confusing for a lot of people because there are 100 homes to choose from versus two.
Allison and I bought the house that we're in now. We bought it we're in the Ivy area, and we bought ours 5 hours after it listed.
Mm-hmm.
And we put in a full price offer 5 hours after it listed because I knew this is going to be gone tomorrow. And we found out we had a ratified contract within 24 hours of the listing. And I found out that the next day, we were the first ones to see it. The next day, there were 7 appointments to get in there, people wanting to see this house. And they didn't know it had already sold. But 3 years ago, that's what you had to do. If you saw any kind of something you wanted, you just had to go ahead and buy it right away.
Well, I had one of my favorite examples is there was a house in Belmont 3 or 4 years ago that what realtors can do sometimes is they'll put a property on the market on Friday and wait until the Tuesday realtor's open house to generate 4 or 5 days of interest. And so I was showing it to a client, and he said, well, where's the property? And I said, well, we have to meet there Tuesday morning at 11 o'clock. He said, well, where is it? I said, look for the people in the street. There were probably 17 or 18 sets of clients in the street in Belmont, milling about, waiting for 11 o'clock to hit. And that's an exception, but I think it's indicative of where the market was. I think that we're shifting. I mean, we're just not in the same frenzied environment that we were for 5 or 7 years.
My guest is local realtor and blogger and a member of the board of the Charlottesville Area Association of Realtors, Jim Duncan. We're talking the local real estate market, taking your calls and questions. Jim Duncan, local realtor, blogger, and a member of the board of the Charlottesville Area Association of Realtors, CAR, which if you've ever bought a home in this area and you have a computer, chances are you've searched for property on the CAR website, which I have to say, Jim, it's terrific. Having searched for properties at one time or another in my life, in Florida, in New York, in different places in Virginia, this is by far the easiest and best just user-friendly local search site, MLS search site that I have ever seen. It's terrific.
It's addictive. People will sit there at work and click refresh every 5 minutes looking for new listings. Even after they buy houses, they continue going to mycar.com and checking out what the market's doing.
And that's what it is. It's mycar, and that's CAAR.com. What is CAR?
CAR is the Association of Realtors in the Charlottesville Albemarle area, or Charlottesville, Albemarle, Flavanna, Green, the entire MSA. And they provide training resources, and they provide lobbying for political issues, and they provide a go-to source for realtors who have questions about, you know, sort of how to be a realtor.
Right.
And it's a fantastic networking group as well.
I do want to say as well, and just remind folks of your website, which is realcentralva.com. And if anybody has any questions or wants to follow up with you after this conversation, they can certainly do that at your website, at your blog there. Again, it's realcentralva.com. Let's talk about the whole idea of green development, because Stonehouse has recently announced that they're going to be putting in a green development as the market will allow. It's not like they're going out there and build these homes tomorrow, but they have plans to tell us first, what do they mean? What is a green development? And why is this making news and so many people are talking about it?
green development is a way that it's a smarter way of building. It's a way to build sustainable communities, and this one's actually going to include organic gardens. It's going to have better materials built in the house, tighter envelopes of the house, so there's less air loss. And they're not going to be able to do solar-oriented house because of the density of the development. But it's just a smarter way to build, and hopefully they're going to be building smaller houses as well, because there's a real trend, as one of my Northern Virginia clients said, away from the 5,000-square-foot house of glass, whereby by the time you finish heating it up in the winter, you have to start cooling it down in the summer. And so, I mean, I think that, you know, 2,300 square feet is a good size. And it's people are seeing that, you know, the 3,000, 3,500 square feet is something that they actually have to heat. And as fuel prices continue to rise, it's becoming something people are more cognizant of.
Yeah. You think we've reached the point, too, where folks are being more realistic about, you know, not just the huge house, but the three-car garage versus the two, and the huge kitchen with the restaurant appliances? I've never understood that, why somebody would want a kitchen that takes you 10 minutes to get from the sink to the refrigerator. It never made any sense to me. It's conspicuous consumption. But from a nuts and bolts perspective of actually preparing food, it never made sense to me, those huge mammoth restaurant kitchens in your home.
No, I mean, I was showing a house the other day, and we were talking about that issue. And I think that we came to consensus they should be in a triangle between the kitchen or the refrigerator, the stove, and the preparing area. So, right. I mean, it's, you know, smaller, smarter spaces are what people are really looking for now.
And what's really interesting, if I hear you right, developers are responding to that. They are recognizing that the market is changing and that people are, they're wanting a different home.
Finally. We've been in a production phase for a number of years where, the developers were, it seemed to my clients, were throwing up as many houses as they possibly could in a short amount of time. And the market's shifting now so that buyers are being more aware of what they're buying. And developers are now adapting to what that is. One of the key components that I use for a lot of my clients who are not looking for land is what they can walk to. And, you know, the walkability of a neighborhood, whether you can get to a coffee shop or get to a grocery store or get to a farmer's market or what have you within a reasonable time, is something that people are much more aware of.
And that sort of fits with with Albemarle County's plan for what do they call it? The neighborhood model.
Correct.
If you have a development, they ideally would like to see some type of mixed use, so people could walk outside their homes and get to a park or to some type of town center or something like that.
Correct. And we're seeing a real proliferation of the town centers around the region, which I wrote a story about that a couple of days ago.
I did see that blog entry. That's actually very interesting. Let me see if I can find that. And before we leave the green development, Belvedere is the name of this development that Stonehouse has proposed.
Right.
We'll have to get an update from Brian about where they are in the planning process. But where exactly is this going in?
It's going in right on Raya Road, nearby the Dunlore development. It's really – the discussion we had online last week, or I think it was last week, was really great for a number of reasons. One, it was that my story was sort of a follow-up to the Daily Progress story. And I wrote the story, and then I had a fairly good conversation. And one of the best parts about it was that one of the Stonehouse folks actually stopped by and commented. And there were some things that were incorrectly stated in the story, I think, that I wrote, and also some of the comments, and he helped clear them up. So from a corporate standpoint, it was a fantastic opportunity that I was really happy that he took to step in and put their words in.
Do you think is this creating any type of buzz among the buyers? Do you think that they'll have an option to buy these greener homes, which, you know, in the long run, it's smarter. It's going to save you money because they're supposedly going to be easier to cool, easier to heat. There's some real advantages when it comes to your monthly pocketbook on a quote unquote green home.
Correct. And what we've seen now in the last 5 to 7 years is that people didn't have the time to really realize those cost savings. You know, why would you spend the time when you're building a house or spend the money upgrading the efficiency of your HVAC when you're going to be there for 18 or 24 months, when that cost savings is going to come about in 5 to 7 years? And we're seeing we're becoming a less transient market, I hope. And so people will stay in houses longer, pay more attention to what they buy, you know, and see the benefits of building green.
And there's certainly, you're right. This isn't a market where you can flip anymore. I mean, those days are, for now at least, and it'll come back, I'm sure. But for now at least, those days of buying a home and flipping it and making $30,000, $40,000, $100,000 a year or two, that's not going to happen right now. It's not going to happen anytime soon.
Right. And I think that and ultimately that's a very good thing. I mean, realizing 20% appreciation, 25% appreciation year after year after year pretty soon nobody can afford to live here anymore. Yeah. That's one of the crises that actually the CAR has really worked hard for the Workforce Housing Fund.
Yeah, and let's talk about that, because that's been one of the criticisms of this new green development, Belvedere on Rio Road, that Stonehouse is talking about. Waldo Jakewith on CivilNews.com has said, this is a great idea, number one, if it's truly green, and a 3,500, 4,000 square foot home is not green no matter how you build it, because you got to heat it.
Right.
It's the smaller homes, the 1,500, 2,000 square foot or less homes that really has an opportunity to be green. And also, number two, they're not really affordable. I mean, we're talking 400,000 and up, mid-400s, 500,000 and up. They're pretty expensive.
Yeah, I mean, to counter that, I remember years ago that discussion was being had on the morning show, and I remember Jane Foy said, well, they're obviously affordable to somebody. We have a dearth of housing that's available under $300,000 in our market, and under $250,000 and $200,000. So there is a premium on building green, but that premium is becoming less and less and less as it's becoming more widespread in the marketplace.
Yeah.
One of the interesting things on the Stonehouse development is that they're doing carriage houses behind them, which are essentially accessory apartments, which the owners will have the option of renting. So, in theory, that would be a very good solution. Well, not a solution, but a part of the solution to the affordable housing crisis. So they could use part of that that accessory apartment to finance their mortgage. So from that income. So again, it conceptually it's fantastic. I think it's part of the solution, and we'll see in 2, 3, 4 years where we are.
What are some other parts of that solution for the fact that we hear it so much, affordable housing, affordable housing, affordable housing. The danger is that we hear it so much we just start to tune it out. But
right.
This is something that's front and burner certainly for the city, and they're putting a lot of money towards trying to figure out some solutions.
Right.
To figure out how you can make some of this housing stock more affordable so that somebody who really serves our community, whether it's a police officer or a school teacher or somebody that works in an emergency room, or they can't afford to even live in the community that they serve. They've
right.
got to drive in from Fluvanna and spend all this money in gas. And so you do want affordable housing, but this is also a really ideal place to live. A lot of people want to live here.
It is. And on that gas, I was talking to some clients this morning about how I do gas price analyses sometimes. It might be cheaper to buy a house in Buckingham, but you're paying $40 a day extra in gas. So it's, again, you need to take your time and build a foundation as far as how you're going to buy a house. And from the affordable housing standpoint, it is a crisis. I think that one component of that is to find denser infill developments within the city limits, take advantage of the public transport that we have, despite all the criticisms I've read and perhaps written about the bus system. We do have public transport. So there are also really great financing programs out there for people who serve our community through the Workforce Housing Fund and PHA, and there are various different funds out there that I've utilized with clients before, that it's a matter of finding the right people who know about them, because they're not as widely marketed as perhaps they could be.
Jim Duncan, local realtor and blogger, online at realcentralva.com. The phone lines are open at 977-1070 if you've got a comment or a question. You wrote recently on your blog, how many town centers do we need in Charlottesville, Albemarle? Hollymead Town Center, Old Trail Town Center, Belvedere Town Center, Albemarle Place, North Point, the Downtown Mall. You point out that eventually we'll get one at Biscuit Run, south of the city. What's going on here? Is this just how people build neighborhoods now? They have little town centers in them?
I think so. I think that we're seeing, and actually there are 3 or 4 or 5 additional ones that were left in the comments that I was not aware of. I mean, there's one in the Fluvanna, Louisa area, and there's a couple different ones out there. We're seeing where people, again, the walkability factor, where people want to be close to something. And I think that, as I wrote there, I think there are going to be 3 different segments of people. One, the ones who want to live in that town center. The second one's going to be the ones who want to be within striking distance of the town center. And then the ones who want to avoid it altogether. So, I mean, we're seeing a real segmentation of our region based in large part around the town centers.
Let me give you, we've got just a couple minutes left here. I want to give you an opportunity. Share your best words of wisdom with buyers, sellers, and developers. Let's start with buyers first. What do buyers need to be keeping in mind right now here in the spring of 2007, knowing that the first quarter numbers are in for the market and they're down? Home price values are down here in the first quarter of 2007.
a couple things. One, I think that, and again, I've written before that, I think we track the real estate market on a daily basis almost, and it's really a yearly, if not every five-year basis, where you really see those sorts of investment gains. Buyers need to be smart. They need to take their time. They need to do their research. And we're seeing more and more buyers who are becoming empowered. They're using technology to their advantage, and frankly, a lot more than a lot of realtors are. So buyers need to be smart. Find the right representation, because I think it's something that you really, and again, if, having bought a couple of houses myself, I should have used representation other than myself. So, I mean, you really need somebody to ask those questions to that you've had, because you don't do that every single day. So, I mean, buyers just need to take their time, be smart about it, and don't jump on the first thing that comes about.
And you don't have to anymore because the stock is up.
No, and it's a lifestyle decision. You know, what do you want to be close to? I mean, we moved two or three times within the region, and, you know, every time we moved, we changed grocery stores, and we changed elementary schools, and we changed soccer fields. And so you have to really take into account a lot more factors than how many bedrooms. And from seller's point of view, you need to actually work to sell your house. You need to, you know, pick up the underwear, which you didn't have to do 3 years ago, 4 years ago. If the first person didn't like it, there were three or four more you could pick from. So you need to. I mean, I've used staging on a number of my listings. You just have to be smart about it and realize that you're not going to get an offer in the first 3 hours or the first 3 days, and sometimes not the first 3 weeks or months.
And to developers here in this community.
I struggle with that. You know, I've lived here for 20 years. My wife is a native, so I see things through her eyes, and I see what it was, you know, 30 years ago through her eyes. Realize that I think that developers who live here and have investment in the community hopefully will do a better job than those who don't. I think that what they really have to recognize is that they are really seeking to build communities, and it's more than houses that they are developing. They're building places where people are going to have kids and, you know, send them out into the streets. So be smart about it.
They're not building houses. They're building homes.
Exactly. I mean, yeah, exactly.
Jim Duncan online at realcentralva.com. You can follow up with him right there. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.